Thank you for having me. It is so good to be here. I love what God's doing at XS. I love the people. I've only met a few of you very recently, but it's all good. Hey, I want to tell you about my high school, which was about literally 2 billion years ago. In high school, I had something called PLP. Does that still exist? Oh, I guess it does. So it still exists then. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that class just tried to put you in pits of anxiety. It was awful. Because it seems to... they're just really pushing you to make big life decisions. They're asking you questions about what you want to do with your life, and you might be thinking about this kind of thing already. You might be thinking about, you know, you might have an idea about what you want to do with the rest of your life. But the problem with PLP is they make it sound so concrete that you got to pick one thing and you are all in for that one thing. Like, that's the thing you're going to do, and you're going to ride it out until you're dead and you can never change. Which, when you go through high school, you realize that that's actually not true, because all your friends switch degrees multiple times and go through all these different things and eventually get to where they are. So there's no point causing so much anxiety, but yet PLP exists and it's awful. So for me, I had literally no idea. Nothing on the menu really intrigued me at all. I really like to write, and so I thought, you know what, maybe journalism would be something good for me. So I went and I spent a little bit of work experience with a paper, and like on the first day I was in some random person's house asking them questions. I was like, no, it's too nosy for me, can't handle this, I don't know who you are, I don't want to be asking you questions about your life. So I gave that the flick. I thought about teaching, but nah. Just wasn't into it. I wasn't good enough to play basketball professionally, and when I was young and naive, that was on the cards for me. I thought about architecture because I really loved to rework my room, you know, like change the living room before mum and dad came home, like rearrange it. I loved it, but then I realized that it involved maths. You had to actually do maths, and so that was out of the way. So I had nothing, because it was really communicated to me, like. And I felt that, like, I wanted to pick something that I could go all in on, that I could really make this my thing, you know, have that Mamba mentality about what you do with for the rest of your life. But nothing seemed worth it. And again, you might be asking these kinds of questions. What do I do with my life? Nothing seems to satisfy. But then something happened to me in year 12 that changed everything for me. So, this is my mate, Jordan. Jordan, wow, that photo did not... He's the bigger pixel. In the back is me, as a year 12. So let me explain Jordan to you. Jordan went to the gym. Do I need to say anything else? Okay, yeah. So Jordan didn't just work out of the gym. Jordan worked at a gym. In high school, Jordan wore big gold chains around his neck. Jordan considered himself to be a bit of a ladies' man. This was my friend Jordan. And if he wasn't into one of my female friends in high school, there was a very large chance that they were into him. It was just not, it was too much for me. But I got to know Jordan in year 11. We did PE together. And in PE class, because it's PE class, like, the banter level is high. And you become friends very quickly when the banter level is high. But one time in year 12, he comes to me and he goes, "Hey, Tim, I'm just wondering if I have your permission to ask your sister out on a date." And I said, "Mate, go for it. Go for it. Go for it." And he's like, "No worries, because she's already said yes." It's my friend Jordan. It's my friend Jordan. What became very apparent to Jordan very quickly is that my sister had said yes to one date, and she had pulled the classic, "If you're not into Jesus, don't even bother. We're not going to have a second date." Good advice, by the way. And so this caused Jordan to ask some questions. And see, back in the past, when I was in high school, Facebook Messenger was just becoming a thing. just becoming a thing. And so we used to spend, we ended up having all these long conversations in the middle of the night about all different kinds of things. And what it came down to is that the question that, you know, the don't bother if you're not into Jesus, had started to raise some questions within Jordan. Like the fact that the white picket fence, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to have a family, maybe a dog, and then I'm going to die, just wasn't appealing to him as a narrative, because we're sold that narrative of this is what life, this is what the good life looks like. But that wasn't enough for Jordan. Jordan wasn't satisfied with that. He was looking for something more. And we talked a couple of times over a series of nights. Every night we would continue the conversation. And eventually I plucked up the courage to say, look, man, what I think you're actually really looking for is Jesus. Like, I think that he is actually the answer to your problems. And if you pray to him and you say, God, I want to know you. I want you to show yourself to me. Then he will, and that's worked for me. So I, like, instead of continuing these conversations, like, that's literally all the advice that I have for you. That's it. And so Jordan took that and he said, yeah, look, I might give that a crack. And I think he did. And then a week or two later, Jordan's driving in his car. Now, Jordan was a gym guy, right? So this is his car. It was a little red hot hatch, you know, the hatchback. He had a custom number eight, you know, the pool ball, number eight ball gear stick, because it was manual, because that made him cool. And he had a custom steering wheel. He loved that car. And one night when he was driving home from work, the radio just flicked off. It just stopped working. And he was, you know, pushing the button, trying to get it to work. And in that moment, God's spirit just fell on him. And God, you know, answered his questions, came into his life. For him, that would be one of the defining moments of his faith. Of that, he asked God to show himself to him. And then in the car, with a radio that didn't work, God revealed himself to him. And it was only a couple of days later, because I'd invited Jordan to come to this youth thing. I don't even remember what it was. And I got there late because, I don't know, that was just me. And I walked in and there was Jordan at the front, covered in tears and snot just all over his face, just like worshipping Jesus. Like, I was like, this dude is actually a Christian. Like, how did that happen? How did that actually happen? And what I saw happen in his life was a whole lot of, like, a lot of really quick change and a whole lot of really slow change as God began to change and transform his life. And the person that Jordan, if you met Jordan today, you would not believe. I mean, he's put on a bit of weight, so that's probably why. But he ended up marrying my sister. Sorry. Yeah. I can make those jokes. You wouldn't recognize him if you knew him before and if you knew him afterwards. And it did actually cause a lot of my friends to ask questions. But for me, this was amazing, right? Because I'd grown up in church my whole life. And I believed in Jesus. But I didn't really see how it applied to the outside world. But there it was, someone who was far from God, hearing the good news of Jesus and coming into a relationship with him, life transformed. And I was like, wow. It's lit a fire under me to want to see this for other people. And so Jordan and I kind of went on like an evangelistic tear of our high school, because he was new to faith, so he didn't care what he said. He didn't know what to say. He's just like, you need to know Jesus. That's all you need to know. You know, we were telling anyone who would listen about Jesus. And then one time, I think it was a couple of months after that, Jordan got invited to a party. And he's like, you want to come as my plus one? I was like, no worries. This will be great. So I went to this party of someone, I had no idea who they were. And we were like, yeah, we were going to talk to people about Jesus. And they were like, actually, we should just pray that God would tell us who the person is we should talk to. We're like, oh, that's a great idea. So we walked around the party, talked to a couple of people. And then we both came back together and was like, you know, who did you feel like we should talk to? And I was like, Ashley. I was like, that's who I felt like God wanted me to talk to. Lara. So we pulled Ashley out of the party. We walked to a little park bench very far away. It sounds weird now talking about it. And we told her about Jesus. We prayed for her. Now let me tell you a little bit about Ashley. Hopefully she's not just a pixel Yeah, she's a pixel. Yeah. So that's her little brother, Finn. He's adorable, but not anymore because that was a long time ago. Let me tell you about Ashley. Now, I didn't really know Ashley. The only way I knew Ashley was because one time in year 12, she told me off for sitting on a locker. That was literally the only way that I didn't know who she was. But I was aware of her. Everybody was aware of her because she had severe depression. She had tried to take her own life earlier that year. And you could see the torment in her mind by looking at her wrists. That's who Ashley was. But Ashley was one of the most brilliant person in the school. She's well-loved by teachers. So much so that in maths class, because the teachers understood what she was going through, they just let her sleep whenever she wanted to. But there was one time that someone else decided that it was a good idea to sleep in the maths class. And the teacher just went to town on that guy while Ashley was asleep in the corner. How dare you sleep? Am I boring to you? So this was Ashley. And we knew everybody knew about Ashley. But then a week or two, maybe a month, time goes fast. After that, Ashley flipped her car. She was driving down a road, pretty straight road, and a semi-trailer pulled out in front of her and flipped her car. She should have died. She walked away without a scratch on her body. And after that point, she decided that maybe she would give church a go. Because, you know, here she had been with this wrestle of should I live? And then she had an opportunity and then she'd walked free without a scratch. And so she started coming to church. And then a couple of months after that, she was staying with her grandparents in Queensland. And she found herself in a little Uniting Church chapel in Queensland. There was no one there. It was open during the day. She went in. She sat down. And the presence of God fell on her. And God spoke to her stuff that was incredibly powerful to her. And then she came back, and she wasn't just someone who went to church. She was a Christian. She was a follower of Jesus. She was a part of the family. And so I'm sitting in year 12, and I have no idea what I want to do with my life. I don't know what to spend my time on. And here I see two people come from darkness into light, totally transformed, slow and quickly. And I realized that I discovered something that I could go all in on. Seeing people transformed by Jesus, that's something that I could go all in on. That God wants to transform, heal, and make the world and every single person that is on this planet new. In Scripture, Jesus calls this project the Kingdom of God, because transformation, healing, and making everything new is what it looks like when God is in charge. And for the reason that only He knows, He wants to work with us to do it. In Scripture, we are co-workers with God. For some reason, broken, flawed, sinful people like us get to participate in the healing of the world. And it really is a ludicrous idea. It's ludicrous. But it's amazing, and it's true. I had really felt that I had discovered something. And Jesus tells a story about this in his Gospel of Matthew. And it's the story of the parable of the treasure hidden in a field. And it kind of goes something like this. There's a man who's walking in the fields, and he gets to a certain field, and he stubs his toe. He's like, oh, something there. And he kicks it a little bit because it's hard. Then he realizes that it's shiny. He's like, heck, that's some treasure. So what he does, joyfully, because that's a lot of treasure, he goes and he sells everything that he has, all of his possessions, all of his livestock. He probably, in those days, probably had servants, like people that worked for him that he sold off to other people. And then he went and he bought that field, because what was in that field was worth more than anything he had before. And I really felt like I had discovered treasure. Treasure that was worth more than anything I could ever have anything I could ever afford. Everything I had, take my PlayStation. Like, it's not worth it compared to what the treasure that I had found. There's a lot of us who have found this great treasure. Might have been a long time ago, might have been pretty recently. You've discovered Jesus, you've come to Exodus, people have told you about Jesus. Maybe your grandparents or your mum and dad have shared this with you. You've discovered Jesus and the Kingdom of God project, he empowered by his death and resurrection. And we want to go in, because isn't it so compelling? Change lives, healing for the world, this thing that is worth more than anything we could ever hope or imagine. Don't we want to go in all in on that? We do. But there's the thing. There's this thing with us as people. So even though we want to, we don't. And almost like we can't go all in. To sell everything, like that's a lot. Like what do you have to give up to sell everything? Like you got to walk away from everything? That means like we have to leave behind. We might have to leave behind like our identity or the identity that we've created for ourselves to survive this crazy world. It means we might have to let relationships go. It means that we might have to let the dreams that we had for our life go. Like, is all that worth it to buy the field that holds the great treasure? So that's a back and forth that we do. And oftentimes, if we bought the plot of land that has the great treasure in it, you know, we decide that there was something over there that we liked, that we sold to get the treasure, so we're going to go back off and find it. But this happens to me actually often because my wife would just give our stuff away, sometimes to, like, op shops, and I'll have to, like, go, actually, I really needed that, so I'm going to go find the thing that she's given away and buy it with my money, even though it was mine. This is ridiculous. But anyway, that's a sidebar. We go back for the stuff. We go back to the relationship. We go back. That's human nature. Like, we're broken, sinful people. Or maybe we want to sell all our stuff, but, you know, there's that just one thing that we just want to keep. And so we don't. And in fact, we won't. We can't will ourselves to go all in on Jesus. Can't will ourselves to go in all in on this thing that is worth more than anything that we can even imagine. We can't and we won't until we realize that Jesus is the man in the field and that you are the great treasure that he finds, and he is the one who went and sold everything he had, gave up even his life on the cross to have you, to be in relationship with you. We can't until we realize, we can't live lives surrendered to God until we realize that God surrendered his life for us. We simply do not have it within ourselves. But if we lean on what God has done, then we can. We can go all in. See, this is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. It's actually not about what we do. It's actually not about whether we are a good person or a bad person. It doesn't matter what we've done in our lives. It's not actually about us. It's actually about what God has done for us. And a good or bad person, it doesn't matter. Both are unworthy of the sacrifice of Jesus. We are not worth selling everything that we have. And yet that's how God thinks of us, as worth that. That's what God thinks of you. That's how much he loves you. If you're a church kid, like me, or you're already a Christian, I want you to hear this well. And I really needed to hear this as a teenager. Stop trying to get God to love you. God already loves you. Stop trying to earn God's love. The good and the bad, there is a right and a wrong, don't get me wrong. But the good and bad doesn't change how he thinks about you or feels about you. He loves you. I'm a dad. I have a son. I know what it's like to be bitten and then laughed at in the face because he doesn't understand. But I love him anyway. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter how far he walks away from Jesus in his life. I'll always love him because his identity is my son, not what he does. And it's the same thing for us. Our identity is a son and a daughter of the living God. And because of that, we can't lose that. We don't just stop being loved by God every time we do something wrong. That's a cycle that is really hard to break out of. God is your Father, and he loved you before, he loves you through, and he loves you despite everything that we've ever done. That's a truth that I really needed to hear. And that's a truth that actually has to sink deep down into our hearts. So we understand it not just with our mind because we've heard it, but we actually understand it in here. Because if we don't, then we can't go all in for Jesus. Because we won't. Because the world is too distracting. It's too enticing. There are so many shows on Netflix you can binge watch literally for your entire life. Social media, like you can just distract yourself. But if we realize that Jesus has actually done everything so that we can have a relationship with him, then our lives will never be the same. And we will have the courage, we will have the boldness to step out and to share the secret that we have with those people in our school who need to hear it. Those people in our school that maybe we don't know that well but know about. Maybe those people in the school that we think, oh, they've got it all together, they probably don't need Jesus. We'll have the courage because it's not about what we do. That's not in our power, but it's actually in God's power. So this is what I want to do tonight. If that's you, if you need time as the worship team plays, if you need time to really let that sink into your heart, that you are loved by God and nothing you can ever do changes that, that you're a son and a daughter of God and nothing you can ever do changes that, and that God actually did everything for you. If you need time, then take that. Stay in your seat. Close your eyes, pray, read your scripture, whatever you need to do to just meditate on that. But if this is new for you, or if you've heard this a million times, you've been to XS for years, but maybe for the first time tonight, you're actually hearing this. Like you've heard it, but now it's like, oh, actually there's something to that. And you move to respond, you move to follow a God who went all in for you. Then what I want you to do is while we sing this song, go and find your small group leader, pull them aside, and say, this is where I'm at. This is what I want. These are the questions that I have. Would you pray with me? And they will. They absolutely will, because we need people to go on this journey with us. So find someone you know, find someone you will see every week at XS, and let them in. We're not meant to do the Christian life alone. If that's you, as we sing, do that. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you have done. We just want to praise you and honor you, God, because we didn't deserve this. We didn't deserve Jesus coming to this world, humbling himself, giving up his life for us on the cross, so we could be with you forever. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, may we live out of that reality, not for that reality, because that reality has already been won for us on the cross. Father, we are in awe of you. Would you speak clearly, powerfully into our hearts? And God, would you use us to transform the world, because it desperately needs your love and your grace. I pray this in the name of Jesus.